when my kids grow up and they have big decisions to make, I want them to think, I need to call my dad. I gotta call my dad, I gotta ask him what he thinks. And I just know that I'm aware that that's not going to happen unless I grow in wisdom, and I'm not going to grow in wisdom unless I chase it.
Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. We're in a series called Chasing Wisdom, and we're looking at how to pursue a life well lived. This message is just part one of the chase for wisdom, because every week we release a part two, featuring an interview with someone who has followed God for a long time. To keep up with everything happening at Three Creeks this summer, follow us on social media or click the events tab at threecreekschurch.com. And now, here's part one of this week's message.
Yo, good morning and welcome to Three Creeks Church. My name is Joel. I get to be the pastor here, and we are in week one of Chasing Wisdom, a brand new series that I am stoked about. I Googled wise sayings, and you never know what you're going to get whenever you Google something like wise sayings. One of the ones that I saw that caught my attention was, life is short, so smile while you still have teeth. Or I saw one that said, if a man betrays you, buy each of his children a drum. And for those of us with children, we know that that would be unbearable torture to have all of our children have a drum. Another one said, the look on the face of a goat will not determine whether or not it goes to the market or not. And I thought, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds wise. And if you know what that means, you should tell me. We're in Chasing Wisdom. I'm hoping that this series will be far more impactful than the wise sayings that I got from Google. We're going to be looking at what God says, and we're going to be listening to people that have followed God for a long time. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, it says this. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words. Do not turn your ear from it. Don't forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. If you love wisdom, she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Listen to this. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. As a pastor, I get a front row seat to the unpredictability of the human experience. I get to go to the hospital when people have babies that they have prayed for years, and the baby is healthy, and I get to make a comment about how the little girl's nose looks just like her mom's, and we pray and we cry, and I'm just getting chills thinking about it, because I've been in these hospital rooms where there's just this overwhelming sense of joy, and I've left hospitals and received phone calls from people who are experiencing miscarriages, who just struggle with infertility, and all they want to do is have a baby. And so I get to experience the highest and the lowest with people. I talk with people, I pray with people when they're about to interview for a dream job, and they get it, and we celebrate. And then I talk with people who lose their jobs, and they describe how long they're going to be able to make it on their savings. I get to stand at the end of an aisle, and a dad walks his daughter down the aisle and gives his daughter to godly men, and they say vows, and they exchange rings, and they kiss each other. It's the greatest day of their life. And then I talk with some of my closest friends whose spouses have been unfaithful, and they go through a divorce. I get a front row seat to the unpredictability of life. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but life, it moves on us. Housing markets, they crash. Viruses, they spread. Jobs, they're lost. Accidents happen. Disruptions occur. Life is unpredictable. We can act like we've got a good plan, but you and I both know that life takes our plan and shakes it like a Polaroid picture. You know, like, Our good plan just gets thrown to the wind because life is unpredictable. I don't know if he's not really a theologian. You ever heard of Mike Tyson? The way that he puts it is, he goes, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And that's life for a lot of people. We just go about it for a while. Most of it is predictable. And then we can get punched in the mouth. And the question becomes, in light of all of this, how do you and I become the kind of people that can handle all that life throws at us? How do we navigate this when things don't go our way? How do we make quick decisions and handle it all with wisdom and composure and strength and kindness, where somehow, even though everything else is spinning, we have this stability, this steadiness, this tranquility? I'm thinking mostly of all of the people in our church that I love. Right now, we're in our 20s, we're in our 30s, we're figuring things out. We've got hopefully a lot of life ahead of us. When it gets hard, not if it gets hard, when it gets hard, how will we handle that? The question that I want to ask you, it's kind of the question at the heart of this whole series, is how do we become wise? How do we become wise? You know, wisdom, it's different than intelligence, it's different than knowledge, it's different than savvy. It's wisdom. It transcends even those things. It's all those things combined applied to our lives. How do we get that? It's not, we don't lack wisdom because we lack information. There's, you and I both know that there's information coming at us from every angle. We're living in a time where we're drowning in information, yet we're starving for wisdom. And so the question for me is, how do we become wise? What does God say about becoming wise? It can't be you just get older and you get wiser at the same time. It can't be that. It doesn't make any sense, because not every old person that I know is wise. I know old people that are foolish, and so do you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that's the truth. Wisdom and age, they don't always go hand in hand. Certainly, age and experience can help us to grow wise, but it's not automatic. And so what does the Bible say about growing wise? What does it say about gaining wisdom? Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 2, it is the Lord that gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It's God that gives it. So who does He give it to? That's the question. Well, if you look at the first five verses before Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it describes a person who's going to be given wisdom by the Lord. It says this, it says, "Son, if you store up my commands within you, if you accept my words and you store up my commands within you, if you search for it like silver, if you hunt for it like treasure, if you cry out for insight, if you call aloud for understanding, if you turn your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, then you will know the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God." You guys, those five verses, that describes a person who is chasing wisdom, who is calling out, crying out, applying, hunting, searching like treasure. Like treasure, if it was hidden somewhere, we would go and hunt for it and search for it. We would not stop. We wouldn't sleep. We would pursue it. And so to me, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, "The Lord gives wisdom and understanding," He's giving wisdom and understanding to the people that are chasing it. The big idea is, the Lord gives wisdom to those who chase it. The Lord gives us wisdom when we chase it. Wisdom, we don't grow wise casually. We don't grow wise by coincidence. We don't grow wise just because we get older. We grow wise when we chase wisdom. The wisest people among us are people who they could admit they don't have it all together. They don't know all the answers, and so they chase wisdom. The wisest people are people that unapologetically ask for help. They're so humble to admit, I don't have it all figured out. And they chase wisdom. The wisest people are people who they don't need their voice to be heard. They listen to the voices of people that have gone before them, and they listen to the voice of God. They chase wisdom. The Lord gives us wisdom when we chase it. Let me stop for a second and let me just ask you a question. Are you tempted right now? Are you tempted in any way to have this thought in the back of your mind where you go, I don't know that I'm really going to get a lot out of this series. It's just another church series. I've heard messages on these topics before. How much can an online church even change me? I mean, this is just different. I'm just asking you, are you tempted in any way to go, I don't know if this is going to apply to me so much? I have been sincerely praying for this series that whether you are 6 or 26 or 66, that God would move in your heart and your life, and that you would gain wisdom as you apply your heart to understanding, as you chase it, that God would give it to you. It starts with a humble, humble heart. I'm going to be honest with you. I need more wisdom. I feel like when I was in my teens and my 20s, I felt like I was kind of like God's gift to earth. I know that sounds crazy, but I just thought I was such a blessing to other people. I had it all figured out. People would encourage me and I would be like, yeah, they're right. You know, so dumb. It's just true. And then I got married and then I had kids and I've been humbled. I believe that marriage reveals selfishness level 2 and kids reveal selfishness level 10. I've just been humbled. And I think if I'm being honest, as I've gotten into my, I don't feel like I've gotten wiser. I think I've become more aware of my lack of wisdom. I think I've become more aware of my immaturity. I remember as a teenager, when you're in your 20s, if someone calls you immature, you get so insecure about that because your goal the whole time is to mature. Now I'm 33 and I'm going, man, I just know then I need to grow up. I need to grow in wisdom. I need to be mature. This is kind of embarrassing, but I feel like I should tell you. The other day, I go home, and my wife has been watching all 3 kids the whole day. And she has 1% left on the energy tank. She makes dinner, and she says, hey, can we eat outside on the breezeway? I'm like, yeah, totally. That sounds great. Love eating on the breezeway. And she says, we're having pizza pasta, which with my toddlers is worst case scenario as far as cleanliness. It's going to be a disaster. And we go out there and Morgan says, hey, can we take up the tablecloth? And I, in my great wisdom and maturity, I said, are you kidding? You want me to take up the table? Why do we even have the tablecloth here in the first place? Now I'm going to have to move the candle. And I'm going to have to move the candle over here. Then I'm going to have to take up the tablecloth. I'm going to have to fold it up. I'm going to put it over there. Then I got to remember to put it back after we eat. Why do we have the tablecloth to begin with, Morgan? This was my measured, mature wisdom response. I'm an idiot about petty things. I have a sneaky suspicion that I'm not alone in this. My point is, I'm more aware that that is so dumb. What would it have taken for me to just go, Morgan, absolutely. It'll just take me a minute. I'll move the tablecloth. That way you don't have to do laundry later. By the way, thank you for making dinner. By the way, thank you for raising our kids today. Is there anything else I can do to serve you? That's wisdom. And I'm not batting 1,000, clearly, because that happened last week. What I'm saying is, how do we grow into the people that will be wise, that will be mature, that will handle all the little things and the big things with composure and strength and kindness? How do we grow in wisdom? I want to get to the point, listen, I want to get to the point where when my kids grow up and they have big decisions to make, I want them to think, I need to call my dad. I got to call my dad. I got to ask him what he thinks. And I just know that I'm aware that that's not going to happen unless I grow in wisdom. And I'm not going to grow in wisdom unless I chase it. Unless I chase it. I'm thinking of the young families in our church, and I just want to implore you, encourage you, urge you, beg you, whatever word works for you, to join me on this chase for wisdom so that we can live our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, our 60s with the description of us is that we're wise beyond our years. I want to grow in wisdom. The series is called Chasing Wisdom. There's going to be a message from me or someone on our team. There's going to be an interview with someone who's followed God a lot longer than I have that kind of accompanies this message. It pairs with it. What I want to do is I want to show you right now. The interview this week is with Daniel Grothy. He's a pastor of a church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He's been a pastor to me from afar. He wrote a book called Chasing Wisdom. Coincidence? I don't think so. But 15 or 20 years ago, he had his dream job. He was at a big church, successful, married, young kids. He was living the high life. Things were going very well. And life threw him a curveball that I don't even know. I've experienced nothing like this. Listen to Daniel tell you a little bit about that.
When we came here, New Life was on top of the world. Mel Gibson came to our church to release the Passion of the Christ. George W. Bush, the president at the time, Skyped into our pastor's conference to joke around and to encourage our pastor. So we were sort of a big deal, just ask us, that kind of a thing. and until the bottom fell out. And our senior pastor was caught in a scandal. 100 days in on our new senior pastor's job, it was a Sunday morning, and I was standing down at the end of our children's hallway. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I hear the worst sound imaginable, a sound you'd never expect to hear anywhere, let alone in church. And it's the sound of bop, 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 bop. A gunman came on our campus with an AR-15 assault rifle, 1,000 rounds of ammunition, and he's spraying bullets everywhere.
So I know what you're thinking. Fast forward this thing, get to the interview, because that sounds exciting, and I want to know the rest of that story. Yes, do that in a minute. You can listen to that or watch that wherever you're watching or listening to this one. But before you do that, I want to just ask you for 4 more minutes. I want to ask you a few questions to close today's message to kind of set us to be ready for this whole series. So last week I asked you, if you watched, I asked you to get a journal. It's going to be important. If you watched it and you bought a journal, thank you. If you watched it, you haven't gotten one yet, you can do it this week. If you're just tuning in right now, I'm asking you, get a journal so that we can take inventory of what God is doing in our life this summer. If you're a person that said, I'm not a journaler, this is the perfect chance for you to do it. It will benefit you so much. Here's what I want you to do this week in your journal. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to read Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4. These four chapters are Solomon writing about the benefits of wisdom. Our approach, our attitude towards chasing wisdom, towards gaining wisdom, what it will mean for our lives when we get it. And I just want you to go through those four chapters and just soak it in. Read it a few times. Highlight verses that stick out to you. Rewrite verses in your journal that just speak to where you're at. Let it all just kind of wash over you and soak in those four chapters of the Bible this week. Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4. The second thing I want you to do in your journal is I want you to answer this question. I think this question has to be asked before we go any further in the series. This is the question. Will you be willing to make changes in your life if wisdom calls you to it? Will you be willing to make changes in your life if wisdom calls you to it? If through this series, if areas of your life that you are behaving with a lack of wisdom, unwise decisions, if those are exposed, will you be willing to make changes? When we stall, when we say, oh, I'll take care of that later, oh, that's not a big deal, what happens is little problems grow into crises. And if in this series, if you see, if it is revealed in you, habitual sin or unhealthy relationships or kind of repeated sinful or unwise behavior, will you be willing to make changes? Listen, it's going to hurt either way. Whether you make changes or not, it's going to hurt. You're either going to experience the pain of making a change in your life, or you're going to experience the inevitable pain of ignoring something that needs attention. It's going to hurt either way. You may as well lean into it and make changes that help you to grow in godliness and grow in wisdom and honor God in that. I want that for you. Listen, Three Creeks, I'm not positioning myself as we start this series. I'm not positioning myself at the end of a race with my hands up, you know, saying to you, come run like I did. Let me show you how to do it. It's not what I'm doing. Because I'm 33. I feel like I'm just getting started in my chase of wisdom. What I'm asking you to do is, will you run with me? Will you pursue a life well lived with me? Will you pursue wisdom this summer with me, with intentionality, with purpose, with aggression? Will you get after it with me? That is the way that I want to position myself as your pastor during this series. I'm not telling you how to do it because I did it. I'm saying, let's do this thing together. Let's chase wisdom. I also know that wisdom is not gained by just one 10-week series. We don't get to August and go, got all I need. This is going to be something that goes on for the rest of our lives. A life well lived is a lifelong pursuit. It's just how it is. But I'm asking you, Three Creeks, this summer, will you chase wisdom with me? Will you dive in? Will you get after it? I'm going to chase wisdom. I'm inviting you to go along with me. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. We trust this message has made a difference in your life by the power of God. Remember, this was just part one. Find part two, an interview with someone who has followed God for a long time, wherever podcasts are found, on YouTube or Facebook. To find out more about our church, see what we're up to this summer, or to give online, visit 3creekschurch.com.